Hi, everybody. So welcome to Screen Heroes, episode 106. I am Derek, one of your weekly hosts. I have my two other wonderful hosts with me, Ray.
Hi.
And Ryan.
Hello.
And we have returning guest, Jordan.
I'm back again.
And
can you explain why your two seats are mixed up right now?
Well, so people consume this show in different ways. If you're watching it, you'll notice that Ray and I are in different places. If you're listening, perhaps the audio sounds like we're in different spots. I have no idea.
No, we're not, like, messing around. We have a routine, and it's fine.
Rachel's going to be thrown off her game the whole time.
I know.
I thought, honestly, that Ray was not going to be able to join us this evening, so I set up the set in a slightly different manner, so that way we only had three people, and that was going to have me in the middle with the computer. So after I wired everything, I found out Ray was going to join us, and so she's just going to take my spot so I don't have to rewire everything. And now you know.
The more you know.
Knowing is half the battle. All right, so this week we are going to be talking about the best and our favorite robots. In movies and, I guess, kind of TV, maybe slightly.
Now, this seems like
Maybe slightly? Are we changing it so there's no TV now?
Well, originally it was just film.
No, it wasn't.
It never was.
Well,
just
neither
film.
Of you said anything when Look, I made a post that said just film.
All right.
So. It was based on screen, from what all I remember. Right.
That's going to throw me off, because that could have put a lot more on the list.
All right. So, the original title was just Best Robots. And that is thanks to Ian. Because a long time ago when we did Best Reboots, he prepped a list for Best Robots. And I thought it was hilarious and we should actually do the topic. Because we do a lot of sci-fi stuff. Robots create such a great ethical quandary here and there. Whether or not, you know, they're beings that should be counted, or are they just servants or whatever. Now, we often do film and TV and sometimes video game crossovers, so it's just Best Robots.
What, we could have done video games?
Best Robots.
This is spiraling out of control.
Androids, androids.
All right, but no cyborgs or cybernetic beings that have biological functions.
Or beings that
What's
just
the definition of biological functions?
So,
like if
where
they have
you
to
need,
eat,
where you need human
cyborg
organs to stay
or
alive.
Seven of nine.
Well, so Borgs are cyborgs.
Yes.
Right? But you could argue that, for example, RoboCop has to eat food to stay alive.
Does he?
Yeah, that's why he has all the baby food in the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So RoboCop does not count. He is more of a cyborg than he is a robot.
What about Time Cop?
Also, what does not count are machines that are really just vehicles that look like a humanoid thing,
so
like a
Jaeger
in Pacific Rim.
The Megazord. It's being
the
controlled.
The Megazords. Daleks.
The Daleks.
The Daleks.
Yeah.
But if you can't have Daleks, could you consider Cybermen? Because technically it's a brain.
But they stop eating.
So wait, there's a biological brain?
There's a biological brain, but they
you
don't.
You get assimilated.
But yeah, they don't have to do anything. I don't think it's anything else.
Once you become a Cyberman, that's all you are.
You basically have to charge, that's about it.
But there's a human brain in there?
That's it.
You lose sentience, though. Like,
but what if you were to remove that human brain?
That's never happened.
Yeah, see, that's the question, right? If you remove the human or the biological, if you remove the biological from the technological, does it survive? The Borg do not. Seven of nine does not. That's why
the
she
Cyberman
still has
does
stuff.
Not continue on afterwards.
So
well,
then that would be a cyborg.
There's been parts
cybernetic
though,
being of there, some kind.
It can be broken apart. The arms themselves have been able to move on their self.
That's true.
In the Pandorica episode, it actually did start to
act like Bender's body. Like how Bender can just kind of like
yeah
just,
okay.
Yeah. All right.
Does
yeah.
it
tend Should to we have a Doctor Who argument yeah. later? And
yeah, well, let's put that off.
All right, so let's talk about. The most obvious.
Should we do some news first? Are we skipping that segment this week?
That's part of the most obvious, right?
Oh, nailed it. Yeah, I completely missed it. Well, whatever.
No, let's talk about news.
Okay, Ryan, you want to tell us a bit about what's going on in the world of Shazam?
Yeah, there's people finally leaking stuff off the set. Thank goodness. I know we talked about the one random shot that they had last week. And I said that I was pretty excited they probably released the full image, and they still haven't. Mm-hmm. Apparently they changed their plans on that whole deal, but we did get a front shot that was leaked.
So the lightning bolts.
It's thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, and I like it.
Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
He's just talking about Levi's thighs.
Yeah, those are pretty thick, too.
So thick.
So that was released, and it looks... I think the front angle was a little more flattering than the one we saw before, where you just saw, like, a bit of the cape, and, like, it looked like it had a weird gut and stuff. Mm. And then today was leaked a video from the set.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was basically... It looked like he had just stopped a bus.
Ooh.
And was, like, waving the people out, and then he did, like, a dance, and, you know, like, an excitement dance, and it was really great, because you could, like, you could definitely see that this is supposed to be a 14-year-old, and if you could pick that up on, like, a video of a set, rather than, like, the movie, that's good. So, yeah, like, the mannerisms and stuff, he was doing a great job, I think, and it's very exciting. And seeing the suit in motion, it wasn't up close or anything. But seeing the suit in motion, it really, really looks like the comic books, and it's very exciting.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
I'm excited about that.
I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
I'm looking forward to something official, a poster. Right. So the rumor now is that WonderCon is where they're going to reveal, like, a poster with the full suit. But that's just a rumor, so who knows.
I mean, the Han Solo movie might be starting a new precedent. It didn't give us posters or a trailer until, you know, 4 months
out. All the posters were ripoffs. Funk album.
That's true.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I'm sure.
Allegedly.
I'm sure that's a huge oversight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you'll all be very excited to hear that Terminator 6 starts production this fall.
I did read something about that. Yeah. That's
he said he would be back.
And he's always back.
He's always back.
He's always back.
So, yeah.
Stanley is still battling pneumonia.
Yes.
There's also a big conspiracy theory that he's actually in serious trouble. His handler that he's worked with for like 10 years.
He fired his manager.
He did not fire his manager. His people fired his manager. And this manager has been... There's been Jason David Frank and a bunch of other guests have said that this guy takes care of Stan and they love each other.
I've met him.
And... So the fact that he got fired is very that is making people worried that somebody is trying to manipulate Stanley. Also, if you watch the video that TMZ released, it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's like Stan talking to his fans, but it almost sounds like a goodbye video. It's very different. He's released two videos in the past week, and the tone between the two videos is extremely different. And there's a bunch of people talking about starting a hashtag and, like, trying to get awareness out and trying to get a hold of Robert Downey Jr. or, like, other people involved, James Gunn, some of the people that are on social media a lot, and seeing if, you know, somebody that has a little more pull can figure something out. I don't know. It sounds like a sad situation to me. His wife recently passed, and he's very vulnerable right now. So if you have positive thoughts, however you celebrate your positive thoughts, put them out there. And keep Stan Lee in your mind beyond the pneumonia. Hopefully something can be figured out and that he's actually okay. It's kind of depressing.
On that note, that's rough. And, I mean, he's getting up there, obviously. He's in his, you know, mid-90s, I guess, now. So,
every year he crosses somebody's office Deadpool, so.
That is true.
It probably has for, I mean, when you get to be that age, it's just, you know. People expect things, and we're glad he's still with us, and hopefully he will be for more time.
All right. Well, on that positive note,
killed the mood.
We'll
with
go
that.
Back. It's so, okay. I saw an article today from Screen Rant that says that Tom Cruise has interest in playing Green Lantern.
I mean, so do I, but...
Right, exactly. There's not much
not
to that,
to
except DC has interest in him doing it as well. Now, I don't know if this is, like, or if this is, like, in love with each other. So, I don't know how serious this is, but I just know that Tom Cruise does a certain kind of movie. He loves franchises. He likes to start off. He's not a pass-the-torch kind of guy. So, you know, this is... If he signs on, this is a 3-5 movie deal, and that could be weird. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, like Tom Cruise, don't, like Green Lantern, don't, it's just going to be a weird situation. And I feel like both of them, both Cruise and DC, are grasping at straws with this. Like, with every step DC makes, I feel their desperation more and more to just have the same Marvel love. And this just feels like it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be on board with Tom Cruise. I'm just going to go on the record.
No, we've talked about this. Yeah. He had good reasonings behind it.
I don't think that they would sign him on for a 3 to 5. I mean, I know that that's what he likes.
Yeah, that is what he likes.
I feel like if they were going to bring him on, if they were setting it up for a 3 to 5 movie deal, I would not like that. If it was so, right now, we really don't have any details, specifics as to what the actual contract is all. Like, we're talking about speculation.
I'll tell you this. If he plays Alan Scott...
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if he's coming on as a Green Lantern, then it should be... He's not a new Green Lantern. He's just passing the torch on to a younger actor.
And I...
Something along those lines.
I'd even be open to him playing Sinestro. I want to see him in prosthetics. He hasn't done, a full prosthetic character in a while. I mean, Les Grossman, of course, had
a lot of prosthetic
bodies, too.
Yeah.
And a bald cap, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Sinestro could be cool. I think Alan Scott could be cool. If we're just saying, and like you said earlier, Top Gun is Hal Jordan.
Right.
So,
but you're right. It was 30 years ago. But I think he could still do that role and still be the cocky, kind of, even if he's been a Green Lantern for 20 years or something like that, he could still be the cocky.
If that's the way they go and they do Simon or they do Jessica Cruz instead as your main, I think that's skipping over a lot of good characters, but at the same time, Hal is kind of their mentor here and there. So. Yeah.
And isn't the Green Lantern movie Green Lantern Corps?
Yeah, it's the Green Lantern Corps. So it's believed to be a Jordan Stewart film.
Yes, and I'd love that.
I think doing Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz would be really cool.
Right, they have good stories.
Super risky from a production standpoint. Not that
they won't do anything risky.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, unless you really read DC Comics, you have no idea who they are. And if you don't already know who they are, and you find out who they are through some opinion article on some website, you're probably not going to be super thrilled with either of them.
Headlining a Green Lantern movie?
Because, I mean, they share a lantern battery. They don't even have their own. She comes from, a almost villain background.
Yeah. So, right? Well... Yes,
Simon. Yeah, Simon was a criminal.
Simon was originally Kick-Ass, right? That's where he got his costume from. He's the guy that wears the Kick-Ass mask, right?
He does wear a mask. That's true. Okay. But he had a gun for a good chunk of the run. I think he got rid of the gun now. But I'm just saying, they're much more flawed lanterns.
Yeah.
Than the main ones, right? Like Hal Jordan, of course, has some issues.
I'm pretty sure Guy is flawed.
But they're not portrayed that way. Guy is the police officer hero who's a hothead, right? They're all these amazing people who just
officer tropes that we've seen in movies for years.
Right? That's the thing. They all have their little thing that, makes them...
Who's the donut-eating one? Who's the comedy relief? Who's the clown?
Kilowog. He loves donuts. Little known fact.
Let's talk about robots.
Versus wrestlers?
Yes.
Now you're speaking my language.
All right, so robots. Do you guys want to start?
Let's start with the droids from Star Wars. I feel like let's just get them out of the way.
There's a lot of them.
Well, there are two from the old trilogy as well as the prequel trilogy. And then Rogue One and Force Awakens brought it.
I mean, there's Gonk. And then...
I had IG-88 on my list. One of the two bounty hunter droids you see in the scene with Darth Vader. How cool is that? Freaking droid bounty hunters?
You're totally right. That pan from left to right, he was fantastic.
He was awesome looking. He had a stovepipe head and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got a pop of him.
Right?
To tell my kids about someday.
Hey, he should have had more. More to do. He should have been Boba Fett. Boba Fett's not that cool.
That's right.
Droid bounty hunter is way cooler than this random
dude. Maybe when Boba Fett gets out of the Sarlacc pit, he goes and finds the droid and they team up.
Well, I don't believe a droid can get out of a Sarlacc pit.
true.
You're never going to tell me that this dude with a jetpack, like, saved himself from this toothy vagina. Like, it's not...
There you have it, folks.
That's our clip, by the way.
So, of course, there are lots of droids in Star Wars. You've got 9 films. You've got the 2 cartoons. Obviously, R2 and 3PO. You've got K2SO and BB-8 now.
I mean, R2-D2 for me is the big one, right? Like, C-3PO is fine, but R2-D2 was the one that had the interaction with Yoda right away, and Yoda's my favorite character, and I loved that little interaction they had with Yoda's beating him with a stick, and just, you know, he got some weird stuff happening in the prequels and things like that. But
he can fly!
He was, I think, everybody's favorite. C-3PO is fine, but R2-D2 is one everybody liked, and even BB-8 is trying to be the new generation.
Oh, he totally R2-D2. Is, yeah, 100%.
So, I would put R2-D2 at the top for me as far as Star Wars droids, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there for basically all those exact same reasons. I mean, 3PO...
Except for the Yoda one, right?
The other one's great.
Okay.
The other one's great. I mean, 3PO has a lot of comic relief that...
He's great because he doesn't pick up social cues.
That makes him, that gives him the humor.
Exactly.
Side.
That's why I always kind of loved him, because I wish I could ignore social cues and just stop making out, we need to go.
But, part of my problem with R2 is people can inconsistently understand him.
But that's really a problem across all of Star Wars.
It's a problem with all sci-fi, other languages, but...
Oscar Isaac confirmed that BB-8 was Jewish at the Oscars.
He did.
He said that BB-8 speaks Yiddish.
He did.
So, he's Jewish in, race or, religion?
Well, there's not a race. Judaism is not a race. It's a culture. It's an ethnicity.
Okay, an ethnicity. What is it? Ethnicity?
So is BB-8
circumcised?
Jewish?
Yes.
Or did he go to his bar mitzvah?
So this is where I'm confused. So, Isaac's is Poe. Is BB-8 an actor? And is the actor Jewish or the character?
No, the droid. Clearly.
Anyway.
They get freedom of religion, too.
Yeah.
And culture, I guess.
I don't know.
I thought K2SO was a fun addition because it meant that the droids could have, a more varied personality. You know? It didn't have to be just a... Yes, sir. It was... K2SO was kind of an ass. He was C-3PO, but he was an ass.
He was a weird one for me, because it's happening at the same time as the prequels when we meet him, but then he's way more advanced than anything else we see in the original trilogy.
That's a ridiculous design flaw.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk, he's great, but I think people give K2SO a little more credit because it's an actor that we all love.
That is exactly why I love him. I mean,
I'm sure that's not the only reason, but that is certainly worth something.
Well, no, K2SO is definitely more important to me than Hey Hey from Moana, but even though they're both voiced by Alan Tudyk, Hey Hey was voiced by Alan Tudyk.
And he went to Juilliard.
He did.
I love that meme.
Oh, yeah.
But he was just a fun addition to the droids. I like that, we get a stereotypical droid addition in each new movie, but they're all, they're trying to make them different, at least. That's my point. He was a fun addition to the droids.
Yeah.
Jordan, how about you?
You like Star Wars?
I've never been a big fan, so unfortunately.
Of Star Wars? It's the wrong podcast for you, dude.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's one of those shows that was... It was just kind of shoved down my throat as a kid, and I got tired of it real quickly. Mm-hmm. And I have a best friend. He can name all the actors who played stormtroopers and stuff like that, and name the puppeteers for all the different things. And I'm like...
Yeah, Ryan is right there.
Yeah,
you
I'm right here.
His
you
name.
Don't have to talk to me like that.
So, but it was just one of those things. It's like, I couldn't get into it because I had it just... Love this. I'm like, I don't know.
Before we give up on Star Wars, I do want to mention... Rachel said something about video games at the beginning, so I'm just going to throw out HK-47. And if you play Knights of the Old Republic, he is a assassin droid that basically has this huge disdain for all humans and refers to them as meat bags and meat sacks. And just he's one of the greatest video game... characters, period, let alone a droid. But he's
cool.
Awesome, so if you ever get a chance, check out those games, yeah. I would love to see something of his ilk in the movies.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We haven't actually seen a droid in Star Wars that hated humans. And they have every reason to hate humans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. I think we're a little too far along now to do that in the actual main storyline.
They should have done it in the prequels,
maybe
to be honest.
Maybe there'll be one in Solo.
Yeah. Hopefully it kills the actor playing Han.
They could have easily done that with Grievous. You know,
they could have, yeah.
They could have added another depth that he just hated humans.
Right.
But nope. Well, they were like, 4 hours!
Grievous is only kind of a droid, though, too.
Yeah, he has a weird human heart.
Yeah.
But he can't use the Force.
Yeah. He's an odd character.
Yeah.
It was anyway. Cool, though. Like, I actually like Grievous some. I mean, he was...
It's a cool fight scene.
Lightsabers. Yeah. That's neat.
It was a cool fight scene. All right, well then let's move on to another franchise that we can kind of knock out of the way really quick, and that is Transformers. So the Autobots, the Decepticons, Optimus Prime, Megatron, Bumblebee.
Not a fan until Beast Wars, so I'm just going to step out.
My favorite boy is Optimus Prime. I guess I'm the boring guy in that way. I tend to gravitate towards leader characters for some reason, and Optimus
Prime. The hero.
Yeah, he's always the greatest. He had the coolest voice, and Optimus Prime was always the one for me.
Ironhide?
Derek and I are going to name our first child Starscream Mare.
That's true.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
But, yeah, I mean, I've always loved Transformers, the cartoons. You know, the original movie in 1987 is great, where you've got, you know, Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime, and that's really cool. And Megatron becomes Galvatron, and Leonard Nimoy gets to voice him. I'm not biased about that at all.
No.
The whole thing was a lead up just so
that I could plug that.
How long did we make it in before we mentioned it?
22 minutes.
Nice. We haven't even talked about Data yet.
That's right.
Not yet.
No, that'll be the next 20 minutes.
No.
No, but I'm a huge Transformers fan, and I think Optimus Prime is the pinnacle of the Transformers. He's the leader of the Autobots.
He's what everybody wanted to be, you know.
Well, he was a good ruler. He was benevolent. Yeah. He was kind. He was, I guess, admirable. Like, he was...
I didn't even really like semis that much, but he had the coolest semi that he transformed into.
No, I'm with you there. Yeah.
The other cars were much cooler. Almost every other car was much cooler.
I mean, RC was like this really cool motorbike.
Yeah.
Bumblebee was a Volkswagen Bug.
Which was pretty cool back in the 80s and 70s. Those were cool.
He is not a bug anymore.
No, it was a Camaro.
They changed his entire character.
Well, there's a very specific reason for that, actually. Volkswagen doesn't want their cars in movies with excessive violence. So they actually said no. And then the production company had to come up with something else. And Chevy was like, we'll do it. We love violence.
Yeah. And also, we want you to use our car.
Yeah, they want you to use the car.
That was the year the Camaro launched, I think, the new Camaro. And so that was a big thing for them.
Bruce Wayne 25 in chat says that Optimus Prime has always been his favorite since he was a kid. And I mean, same with
good toys. Yeah. Good toys. Good taste.
Both. Whatever.
Yeah. Sure. Take either one.
All right. So that's Transformers.
Let's talk Terminator.
Da-da-da-da-da.
The Terminators are robots.
We're just knocking out basically my entire list before we even actually...
Well, I wanted to go over ones where there's multiples before we move on to, like, individual
characters. Yeah, but does anybody like the T-1000? I mean, come on.
He's an amazing villain.
It's cool.
I'm a big
believer
that Kristanna Loken's the best Terminator. I'm sorry, guys.
You couldn't even say it with a straight face.
I just, like, that movie was fun. It was not a good movie. It was fun to watch a female villain. There's not a lot of those unless you're talking Disney movies. So that was cool. That was cool. I had fun watching that. The movie was paid for by somebody else, so it's fine. You know?
I like Terminator 3.
I like that Skynet wins.
Yeah.
That's, like, you never see dystopian... Well, nobody wants to see how the dystopia happens. You just already see
You're already there.
But the fact that they win, this entire time, John Connor's running around, and he's like, I'm going to stop them. And then he gets to his bunker and nuclear war. Like, that was great.
No, I'm totally with you. I think the biggest mistake that movie made was the fact that they tried to make it PG-13, so that way they could get in a bigger crowd. And... I mean, maybe that worked. I don't really remember the box office numbers, but...
If you're not going to make the toys, who cares?
Well, of course they make the toys. There's always been Terminator toys.
So
I have Terminator 2 toys.
Let's talk about Arnold.
I mean...
The T-800, come on.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It really is.
He was a villain turned good guy who sacrifices himself and...
still manages to find out himself through all these different movies, even though he's an outdated model that nobody really uses anymore. He's still in every movie.
He's always the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, other than the first movie.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I love that. It was the role that Schwarzenegger was born to play, and I don't know.
Have you ever seen Hercules in New York?
Or Junior?
It was the role. It was the role Schwarzenegger was born to play.
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop. Yeah, I think you're wrong, Derek.
I think I'm very right.
We literally just shut you down.
Look, I love Schwarzenegger, and I will watch Kindergarten Cop and Junior and Twins and
Expendables.
Jingle All the Way.
I love Jingle All the Way. Probably my second favorite Christmas movie.
Uh huh. So I like Schwarzenegger's other roles. This was meant for him. And he's still doing it. I mean, they're going to start production on Terminator 6 this fall. We were talking about it before the show kicked off. Or in the beginning of the show.
No, it was actually after the show.
It was after the show. Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. But the time sure does fly.
There's roughly four, like, between the entire series. Four. Or five. I guess that poor...
What?
Five different Terminators? Like,
oh, individual Terminators?
I don't know the individual models because I haven't seen every film.
I'm sorry.
But there's the T-800, the T-1000, whoever Kristanna Loken is, Summer Glau, and then the new one that's half human and half Terminator in Salvation. Right? Yeah,
that's about right.
Thank you. Like, okay.
There's probably some other ones
referenced. From Salvation, he's a different model. The one in Salvation?
Well, obviously. He's a different
model. Oh, yeah.
He's a different model.
Yeah, I think there's like a T-850 or something like that. There's like half models that are, you know, not really that different, but they call them something different. I don't know.
I will say one of my favorite things as a kid was when we got a computer, our first Windows computer. It was Windows 3.1, and we had a Terminator screensaver pack. And one of them was your icons would morph into T-1000 and walk off the screen. I love that. I always thought that was so cool.
So I went to go see
the thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
The Faculty in theaters. And Robert Patrick is in it. Huh. I hadn't seen T2. And somebody in the first, like, 30 seconds yells, "That's the Terminator! You guys are false!" Like, oh my God.
Wow.
Knew he was the bad guy from the beginning.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that sometimes. So, all right. Well, those are the big three franchises. So now we're going to move on to individual characters who may be the only robot in their movie.
And we're going to go one by one. And we're all going to talk about different robots and contribute to each other. So, Jordan, you've been kind of quiet on the Terminator front. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. I'll go with one of my favorites from my childhood. I'll go with the Iron Giant.
Yes.
Great choice.
He was just, didn't know what was happening, came from space, befriended a kid, stole our hearts.
I mean...
save the world.
If that's not a great story, I don't know what is. Brad Bird did an excellent job with that film. I like to think it's Vin Diesel's best role, but, you know...
Have you seen The Pacifier?
That's our next topic, by the way.
We're reviewing The Pacifier. Yeah. I'm good. I'm in.
I like Vin Diesel. All right. He's got good movies. You've got Chronicles of Riddick.
That is not a good movie. Well, Pitch Black is a good movie.
I meant the franchise. The franchise Chronicles of Riddick is four films, yes. Not just one.
All right. So we're talking about Iron Giant.
All right. Iron
how
Giant.
How great it is.
It is wonderful.
You're absolutely correct. He did steal our hearts.
And just he even figured out later he was the weapon, and he's like, "Nope, I don't want to be this. I want to be something totally different." And yeah, that's one of my favorite even my top movies from my childhood. Not just favorite robot, one of my top movies from my childhood.
I'm convinced that Blizzard kind of borrowed the origin story of Iron Giant for Bastion in Overwatch.
That's probably right.
So if you've watched the introduction for Bastion,
it's a very influential film. And Brad Bird is known for his original work. Like, he's the only man to make a good Fantastic Four film. So,
The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Iron Giant, if I haven't seen it in so long, so right. It's very tough for me to say much about it. I know that he's in Ready Player One, which comes out in a few weeks, I think. So if you want to see more of that, I don't know how much of a... He has a big enough role that they made a pop vinyl that's labeled Ready Player One. So,
bought it.
Yeah. So,
I have a hunch, but I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
I haven't read the book, so... so yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's great. Everybody gushes about the movie. It's been so long since I've seen it. I really don't remember much about it, but I remember it had a sad ending, and that's really
it's
all
an emotional cartoon.
Yeah. It's got a solid cast. Harry Connick Jr. and Jennifer Aniston headline it, and if you were around in the 90s, you know they were big names then.
And the only downside, the kid had the weirdest name I think I've ever heard in my life, though. Hogarth.
Yeah.
That was just the weirdest name I've ever heard.
Sorry to anybody who watches this named Hogarth.
So yeah, sorry about that, but it's like...
But let us know if you were named after the character from Iron Giant.
That'd be kind of cool, but yeah, that one was just threw me off.
Your next child should be named Hogarth.
Hogarth, there you go.
She'll kill me.
Make right, a middle name. Ryan? Do you have?
I'm going to knock out a big one. Johnny Five.
Nice.
From Short Circuit.
If you were alive in the 80s, you loved Johnny Five. And you probably even liked him in the second movie. Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face. Los Locos kick your balls into outer space. Yeah. That was when he
that just happened.
Had the gang. He had like the bandolier, the spike bandolier across his chest and like the mohawk and everything. And it was all made out of computer parts and stuff.
Love it.
This is content you can only get here on
Screencast. Leaking battery on the street, and you know, that's his blood. So, yeah, I mean, Johnny Five is one of the iconic characters from the 80s. When you see the shirts with like outlines and stuff like that, Johnny Five is you can pick out immediately. And there's not a lot of characters you can just pick out their silhouette immediately. He's definitely one of them. The original Short Circuit was great. The second one is debatable, but it had some redeeming moments.
The second one's one of those movies that as a kid you loved because you were a kid.
Yeah.
And then you grew up and realized, really the first one's quite, it's like Gremlins.
Yeah.
Right? First one's really good, and the second one was really just made for, like, for
yeah,
fun.
You watch the second one and then you go, why is Hulk Hogan in this? And why is he breaking the fourth wall? Yeah. No, I felt the same way.
I often wondered why Hulk Hogan was talking to me when I was a child.
Right?
Like,
it's very weird.
He's talking directly.
Stop ripping your shirt off, too.
I will say this, that I honestly believe that by now, we would be able to build our own robots that looked a lot like Johnny Five, and I'm really disappointed.
Well, you can with a 3D printer.
But I mean, like, with, like, metal
you
parts.
You want a functional
one, yeah.
That can actually, like, laser people.
I don't mean, like, as sophisticated and alive as the one in the movie, but it did. I assumed as a kid that we'd be able to build those types of things by the time I was in my 30s.
Have you seen any of the Boston Dynamics videos? They're not far off.
Yeah, but he means, like, in his own home.
He wants his own robot.
I want to be able to buy a kit online or in a store that I can build at home.
And make a Johnny Five.
And make a robot.
Yeah. Well, the non-sentient Johnny Fives were all, like, machines of war.
I know. I don't want a war machine.
Maybe we should have done real robots and we could have just sat here and talked about, like, Teddy Ruxpin the whole time.
I had Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. I might still have it.
I had the Big Bird version.
Wow.
Yeah. Put a cassette in his butt and then he... read you a story.
That sounds painful.
That's how it works in real life.
I mean, that's what we do.
All right.
You're up.
So that's Johnny. Oh, I'm up. You don't want to go?
I'll go next.
Okay.
We going?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, you said we're going in order. Well, that you would be next if you were
just talk.
I will go. All right. So I'm going to go with a classic, and that is Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet. One of the early science fiction films, way back in 1956, black and white.
That was so long ago.
Before Leslie Nielsen was a comedic actor, because he's the star of this particular movie. But, you know, it's a big, big robot. It's bigger than the people by, you know, a decent amount. It carries them at some point. And it's, you know, self-sustaining, and it can talk, and, you know, just 10 years before Star Trek, right? 21 years before Star Wars. And... just definitely one of my favorite movies and a really cool robot. I always wanted one of those too.
Did you bring him?
I did. The pop's right down there. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just the epitome of classic science fiction. Yeah. Right? Exactly what we thought things were gonna look like in the future, and we didn't quite get
there. Accurate.
Totally accurate.
Totally accurate.
Anybody else from Forbidden Planet? Nobody?
No, sorry. But it's a good
Yeah, no, I like the way the robot looks.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool.
Like, I love the way he looks. He looks great. He's like a big spaceman.
So, there you go. Robbie the Robot, Forbidden Planet.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Gold star.
Deep cuts here on Screen Heroes. Right?
Alpha 5!
Ay, 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 ay!
Power Rangers was a huge part of me growing up, and Alpha 5 was always, like, this annoying slumber party mom in the group. He was always like, eat your vegetables!
Do you say that?
No, probably not. But he was just, Zordon gave the missions, and Alpha 5 was like, be careful, Rangers! And, you know, like, he was adorable. He had no purpose other than to push buttons, because Zordon was a floating head that was filming somewhere else. And Alpha 5 was just, you know, he was their mascot. So, I always liked Alpha. He was kind of... I wanted an Alpha in my life.
So, Derek wanted a Johnny 5. You wanted an Alpha.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I'll take an Alpha, too.
Did you not want a robot sidekick in it?
I mean,
point?
I would have taken a Johnny 5 if I had
Or a Terminator. I was going to go with
that
the bounty hunter
a
robot.
Riskier.
Yeah, I took a Terminator over the bounty hunter robot.
At least
yeah.
I know I could take my robot. Like, I'm going to beat up Alpha 5 if he turns on me. That's what I know.
That is fair.
They're only bad with Alpha. He might get a little annoying eventually. Like, where's the off switch?
Yeah, like after 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Which Terminator would you want?
You just put a magnet on his head.
I mean, I would probably go with the traditional T-800, even though I know it's not... Well, he wins, I guess, in the end, so...
I mean, he also dies a lot.
Yeah, he sacrifices himself a lot, too, but, you know. Yeah.
I really just...
I just want Arnold to hang out with me all the time, basically. Arnold, if you're watching.
This great... Like, little scene of you as a little boy, and the T-800 sitting in a rocking chair in your bedroom. He just got done reading you a story, and you, like, curl up on his lap, and Arnold's just rocking you.
I'm okay with this. It can't be worse than, like, the annoying kid in T2, you know, so.
Oh, God. Edward
Furlong, yeah.
So you want all the skin and everything on your T-800.
Yeah, I'm not, like, going, like, full endo.
I'm just asking.
No, come on. I can't take him out to parties and stuff. I can't, you know.
Come on, just...
I need him to protect me. I had a rough childhood, man.
He can watch over you while you sleep if you wake up.
A loving family.
I have a loving family, but in school.
Oh, okay, that's
not
school stuff.
That's what I'm saying. If it's just the endoskeleton that watches over you while you sleep, if you wake up, you can just see the two beams of red eyes.
Okay, Jordan, it's your turn.
I'm gonna go with one of my favorites. I'm gonna go with David from Artificial Intelligence, the little kid.
AI.
Not David from Alien Covenant.
No, I was going with David from Artificial Intelligence. I think he's the first one I remember ever having, like, a kid robot and just trying something so innocent, trying to find its purpose and self. And
that was a very touching movie, too.
I have a lot of those on here because those are the ones that really resonated with me as a younger kid. And like I said, he wanted to be a real boy. He was, you know, his whole journey was trying to find the blue fairy so he could be real for his mom.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's the first one I've ever seen where you have a robot trying to figure out from a kid's perspective the world.
It was like out of all the adaptations and parables of Pinocchio, that was the only one that like emotionally touched me as a kid. I was like, oh, that's sweet. Yeah, definitely a good one.
So I didn't really care for AI, but it always reminded me of a movie I did like as a kid, and that was the movie Daryl. You guys know Daryl?
No,
it's from 1985. I pulled it up so I could get some more information on it here. But it's about a young kid, who he thinks he's a 10-year-old boy, but he's actually a military-created robot.
Oh, that's awful.
It's pretty great.
I like AI so much better.
the IMDb summary is, a seemingly normal young boy turns out to be a top-secret military-created robot with superhuman abilities.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah, mine's better.
Well, while we're talking Pinocchio adaptations, I'll go with one of my favorite, Edward Scissorhands.
Nice.
You could debate that he's not a robot, but there is a scene when it's showing his creator, Vincent Price's, sketchbook, and it shows him going from one of the cookie-making robots all the way through to the Edward Scissorhands that we know at the end. So he does eat in one scene, but he vomits it back up.
Yeah.
And,
Well, the act of eating doesn't disqualify you. Like, Data eats.
He doesn't have human parts. If you notice, with the hands that they made for him, he cuts them up, and it doesn't. It's not like flesh. He does bleed, so I guess he may have skin, but so he's no more of a or less of a robot than a Terminator, I guess, at that point. But,
okay.
Interesting. Everything you see, like that one sketchbook scene, pretty much shows that he's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great Pinocchio type movie. He wants to be real and wants to develop and have all these real things, but his hands keep him from doing it. And obviously, we've talked about this movie a lot, but Tim Burton.
That's such a great movie.
It's one of his iconic movies. Everything in the movie is beautiful and tells a story beyond the story. So yeah, Edward Scissorhands.
That's really cool. I do want to point out real quick in chat, Doc Rev remembers Daryl. It's not just me.
You were able to find it. We didn't think you were, trying to Mandela affect us.
I just like that somebody actually knows what I'm talking about. Like, it's great.
All right, so two people saw the movie. That's cool.
I'm sure the people in it saw it.
All right.
Yeah, there's probably a screening.
I will skip you if you don't go.
All right, I'll go. So next, I'm just going to get him out of the way now, and that is Data from Star Trek.
Yeah.
So Data, of course, is an android in Star Trek, The Next Generation, and the four films. He's got a couple of brothers who are also androids and all that good stuff. So,
how does an android have a brother?
The person who made him others, and he calls them brothers.
So if he is created, if an android is created in a factory, then every single android that comes out of that factory is a brother.
They identify him.
Theoretically, Star Trek, it's an arc that is his brother. So that's very important to the character of Data. So
Data's iconic, you know. And Brett Spiner did a fantastic job portraying a non-humanoid. I guess he is a humanoid, excuse me, non-human. I've said this multiple times, there are two actors in the history of Trek that changed up their entire mannerisms to be not human, and it's Brent Spiner and Doug Jones, and every other alien still walks and talks and acts and moves like a human, because they're not as good of actors.
I mean, for the most part, it's a little tough when you're gonna, like, you're being signed on to do one episode and you got the script today and you have to learn your part, you know, kind of thing.
I was more going for, like, the aliens that are involved. Like, what's Ethan Phillips' excuse? He's never seen a human before ever. Yeah, like, he has no excuse.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Neelix, yeah. So, Data, I mean.
Yeah, Data's great.
Data's easy, yeah.
Data's good. I mean, I don't have anything to say about him beyond what you... I mean, obviously, you know significantly more about him than I do. But from what I remember from watching the show, he was great.
And he has a positronic brain.
In the movies.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to talk about somebody
I remember his emotion chip.
Yeah.
He does get an emotion chip.
That was weird.
Which is fun.
It was very weird.
It's very fun. Very fun.
I'm going to talk about Bender from Futurama. Because he is just so great. I mean, what can you say about him? He's a sarcastic and alcoholic who has this, you know, soft spot for these meat bags.
He does. He does love those meat bags.
He does.
But he still wants to kill all humans.
Except for Fry.
Yeah, that's about the only one.
He'd leave Fry alone.
Yeah.
He'd kill him and then he'd be very sorry.
No, Bender is one of my favorite cartoon characters of all time, let alone robots.
John DiMaggio did a great job.
He did. He's just such a wide range of emotions and thoughts, and because it's a cartoon, he can do lots of ridiculous things, like take his body apart and they can build itself back together. And, you know, of course, there's the one where he becomes, like, super intelligent, he's overclocking himself. And
Futurama has some really great robots, so, you know, my favorite one is actually Hedonism Bot. I really want to have somebody spread chocolate sauce on me, just saying. But there's also the Robot Devil.
I love the Robot Devil.
The Robot Devil. The Devil's Hands Are Idle Playthings is my favorite episode of Futurama, all time. And they're such good characters. All of them are, and they all get their development. Calculon's hilarious. There are two characters that make fun of William Shatner, and Calculon's one of them.
Yes, definitely.
The other one is Zap Brannigan.
If I have any criticism of Futurama, it's that the robot devil did not get to sing enough. I wanted more musical
That's
numbers.
That's the only criticism.
That's my one criticism of Futurama. More musical more numbers singing. From the robot devil.
Jordan, it's your turn.
And it ended. That's the only other criticism.
That's fair. It should never have ended.
I'm going to go more recent. I'm going to go with Ultron.
Okay. We haven't hit up comic books yet. This is good.
Well, he was in a movie, so.
Yeah, so I can throw him in there.
That's where
I think she meant, like, comic book movies.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, well, there hasn't been that much. I mean, I guess in our recent comic book movies, there hasn't been that much.
If we got around to it, I was going to talk Red Tornado, because
I did think about Red Tornado, but...
Anyways. He had brothers and a sister.
It's true.
Ultron was just the one most recently I could think of, and just fresh in the memory of, like you said, we were always talking about comic books. Ultron,
No, I'm with you. Ultron's incredibly cool. So we've talked about, like, sidekicks and people that service the story so that our hero goes on. This guy's a straight-up villain, though. Mm-hmm. He is a bad dude. He wants to kill all humans.
Yeah. Like,
and James Spader voiced him pretty well. I know you really liked the performance out of Spader.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around that. The comic book purists were like, this is not the way he should sound. He shouldn't be jokey. He shouldn't be doing all this stuff. But I thought James Spader was great, so I don't...
Well, he was sadistic.
Yeah.
And you believed him as a bad guy.
For sure.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of criticisms you could have on the movie as a whole, but I thought he did a great job.
Spader was great.
I thought he pulled it off really nicely, especially for a guy who, let's face it, it's not like he's a voice actor. It's not like he does mocap or anything like that.
No, he was in the middle of his own show at the time called Blacklist. No, that show has since ended, but he was a scary dude on that too, so.
And before that, it was Boston Legal. Like, he's always played fairly grounded characters, you know? So this, I think, would have been a bit of a stretch for him, and I thought he did a really good job.
And Ultron... Throughout the history of Ultron has just been frightening and a great character. Well done.
Ryan.
I'm going to go with Mega Man. He had a cartoon series in 94 and 95.
Nice.
And he has a new cartoon series coming out supposedly this year.
New game.
And a new game. Yeah.
Looks really good.
Yeah. And Mega Man for me was a video, like it was the video game that I fell in love with. But I mean the cartoon was average for the 90s.
Most video game cartoons.
Yeah, most cartoons in the 90s, they were just throwing things at the wall and hoping something would stay there.
And they all did. Like, every cartoon in the 90s had more than one season because kids would just play it themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, you can ask any kid what their favorite cartoon was, and some of them are going to say, like, Toxic Crusader or Avenger, whichever one was the cartoon. Or some kids are going to say Darkwing Duck. Or, you know, there's so many different, like...
Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah, there's a bunch of random shows that were like that, but that people
Captain
love.
Bucky O'Hare.
Sonic the Hedgehog was a cartoon that
it was.
I think, I mean...
Tailspin.
Tailspin, yeah. Nice. But Mega Man is... a lot of people think it's a kid in a suit, but he's actually completely a robot. Yes. He was created to be the assistant to the person that created him, but the human assistant reprogrammed a bunch of the good creators' robots to be more machine, basic war machines with weird animal names most of the time. And Mega Man volunteered to become a machine of battle, a fighting robot to defeat all these other robots that were created, that were reprogrammed. And so it was a cool story. A lot of robots, you know, out there don't get to volunteer for their function.
It's true.
So that's an interesting thing. And if you just played the video games, you may not have really understood the depth of some of that. But the video games are great. The cartoon, not so much. But hopefully the one's good. And the character's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
the character's definitely.
He's always been cool looking. And when Mega Man X came out, the second generation of the Mega Man character, and he had the sharper looking anime, more anime armor, and, you know, the game was a little bit more easy for people that aren't quite as hardcore.
Those were difficult platformers.
The original ones
games
were very tough.
They were
Mega Man
brutal.
X was the first one that was more approachable, I feel like, and that almost anybody can beat those games. But
Mega Man X was a lot more like a Mario platformer than the old Mega Man games were. The old Mega Man games, I feel like games like Cuphead or Celeste are a lot more like the old...
And Castlevania and some of those, You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up for me then, I am going to go with the robot from Lost in Space. So, old TV show, of course. It's being remade now on Netflix in April. Remade. There was a 1998
Matt film. Matt LeBlanc.
Sorry, Matt LeBlanc, Heather Graham, and John Hurt.
Yep.
I'm talking about more of the original one. For those who haven't seen that, it was an old black and white TV show. Not much more recent than Forbidden Planet, actually. He was an assistant for the family to kind of help them around on the planet. Well, not really where they ended up, but he was supposed to be their assistant. And he was always protecting the kid, Will Robinson, and that's kind of the famous line, danger, danger, Will Robinson. I've got the toy here for anybody
that
who's watching.
That line is more famous than the show.
Yeah. The line is more famous than the show, that's true. And in the movie reboot, they changed him pretty drastically, but it was a pretty cool design, and they had some cool features in there that I really enjoyed. And the new show seems to be taking it in a very different direction, so I'll be curious to see what they do there. But one of the early robots, especially for TV at a time where something like that would have been pretty expensive to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to go with something a bit more modern. And I'm going to talk about Baymax from Big Hero 6.
He was on my list. I was hoping somebody would bring him up.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that movie did not perform as well as it should. I thought it was a very intriguing story, had a lot of human interest to it, but my favorite character was Baymax, and he was created by the main character's older brother, who passes away in a fire, and it's incredibly sad, but the character is there is not just a physical caretaker, but an emotional one as well. And he ends up being like the fan favorite because, well, first of all, he's just very approachable. He's big and giant and fluffy and totally.
Yeah, he's just like an airbag, essentially. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
exactly what he is, yeah. And, you know, then he's there for emotional support, and his monologues are actually very helpful, even though he really is just supposed to be like a check-in nurse's station, and he's just so much more, so. Baymax was a great character, an underrated film, and I say that because it still performed very admirably at the box office. It's just it was incredibly overshadowed by both Frozen and now Moana, and people forget how good it was. But
I didn't actually watch it in theaters. I caught it on TV later on, and yeah, it surprised me with how good it was and heartwarming. I mean, almost all of these robots we've talked about seem to have some level of self-sacrifice.
It's true.
Apparently, that's the theme for robots in general. But
a lot of the time.
Baymax does, you know, sacrifice himself, and it's like you said, the inflatable robot. It's not something you see very often. It's mostly just like metal, you know, stuff. But this is just like an air pump and, you know, some lights and a voice. But the thing with the brother, you know, the brother is the one that programmed him and did all these things. So it's this kid's connection to his brother that passed away. And so, you know, if you have brothers or people that you care about like a brother, then that thinking about that it is incredibly emotional. And I thought it was an interesting concept for sure. Yeah, Baymax is a great character. And mm-hmm. I was hoping that they would do a sequel to that movie.
They're doing a TV show.
Are they?
So
yeah, well, probably won't be as good, but
No, it's not.
We can pray, though.
Yeah. We can try.
All right, so let's do one more round.
All right.
Jordan.
I'll go for not too recent, but recent enough. I'll go with WALL-E.
That's so great.
On my list.
Yeah.
It has to be on the list. It's just a cute little character. The last garbage man on Earth. And brings humanity back to Earth after so long, protecting one little shoe with a plant in it. And he had to throw Eve in there too, you know, trying to keep...
They go together.
Yeah, it's a package deal. Just one of the... Pretty much most of my robots are just feel-good movie ones, you know. But that's another one that just... You're just so happy with. He's so cute when he's doing what he does, you know. Half the time he's messing up, but somehow it works out just the way it needs to at the end.
Yeah, Pixar managed to create a love story, but also a huge indictment about us as humans, it pointed out our flaws, but also the greatest parts about us. You know, we never stop caring. We may be large, lazy trash makers, but we're also very caring, and we want to protect these, like, the two humans that you follow a little bit, you know, they save all those children, and it's all because of Wally and Eve. They make a great team, and it's one of my favorite love stories. It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies. I've talked about it a lot on here, and it's just because of how innovative and personal it is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film, right? And you've got a movie where the main protagonist can't really even talk.
For the first 30 minutes, there's no dialogue.
It's an impressive feat, especially for a children's movie, mm-hmm. which Pixar, at the end of the day, they are kids' movies, even though we enjoy them quite a bit. So, good pick.
Yeah. Ryan.
I'm going to go with one that probably nobody else at the table would know. But Ada from season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Was a life model decoy. The first one in the MCU, really. And that was that season and that arc was probably one of the best seasons and arcs of any TV show I've seen. It was amazing. You got to see the life model decoy and find out that it was created based off of the wife of someone that left, and he was still in love with her, and there's like a whole arc you can probably imagine involving that. But you got to see the wife versus the life model decoy, and the actress was amazing. The like subtle nuances that made you tell the difference between the human and the robot. It was just really, really well done, and very scary. She was just, not a scary looking woman in general, but the character became really scary. That one for me was definitely one of my top. She was great. I love that.
Awesome.
Nice. So for my last one, I'm going more historical than a personal favorite, but I think it's too important not to mention on the list since mm-hmm. it's my last one, and that's Futura from Metropolis. Metropolis is an old movie, 1929, and is largely believed to be the very first science fiction film ever made, and includes what is believed to be the first robot in a movie, and the basis for C-3PO later on. And it's a bit of a weird film and kind of incomplete since a lot of it's been lost over the years. It is not an American film. And it's still just very important. It's looked back on in the industry as the beginning of science fiction for movies. Awesome. So it's one I did not want to skip over.
Oh, that's a great pick. It's at the end of the day, we're a film podcast and we're all film geeks. We love film history, so it's important to recognize your roots.
Yeah, if you're a sci-fi fan and you have not seen Metropolis, I think everyone should watch it once. I'm not saying you have to fall in love with it or anything, but historically it's pretty important. Mm-hmm. So, Ray, your last one.
All right, so my last one is also kind of historic, but it's more comic book, which is just my field. And that's Metallo. Mm. So Metallo is one of Superman's greatest villains, and he's also one that can come back over and over again. So, you know, you defeat Darkseid, you defeat Brainiac, they're dead until, the next writer comes along, whatever. But there's always a huge retcon that has to take place to bring them back. Whereas Metallo, just rebuilds. And he usually houses kryptonite. He's very scary. He's incredibly intimidating just as a villain. I love seeing him in all of his different adaptations. I really wanted to see Man of Steel take him on instead of Zod again, since Terrence Stamp did such a great job. And Michael Shannon was great if you like someone constantly yelling at you.
He was in Smallville. He was one of the best villains. Metallo was really weird looking, like, prosthetics and stuff, but it was, for a CW show, they were great, and he was probably one of the better villains in the later seasons, so.
I agree. Metallo's just really cool, and he's
Derek's never gotten that far in that show, but.
No, but I've seen bits and pieces from the second half of the series, so.
Like,
I know what you're talking about.
I've seen a small chunk of Smallville here and there. Like, I know about the hoodie Justice League.
Gotcha.
The show got a little long in the tooth for me. It wasn't any of the actors' faults, in my opinion. It was more of just
Black Canary design needs to go.
I just needed the show to move along. I needed it to move along.
Yeah, it was a 10-season or 11-season. It was a 10-season show that probably should have been, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But
whatever. They could have combined a lot. But you know, Metallo's my last pick. I feel like it's not the greatest thing we could have ended the show on, but it's not the worst.
Well, you know, a chat, for example, brought up Sonny from iRobot, who was also played by Alan Tudyk, yes, and was on my list as well, but we ran out of time.
So. I have, on my list left, I have Chip Hazard from Small Soldiers.
Oh, such a great pick! Small Soldiers.
Vision.
Yeah, I had Agent Smith from Matrix, which is debatable, kind of, because he's like controlled by a robot, but within a robot. I mean, I don't know. The Matrix is like robots.
Robotception.
I don't know.
You can at least count the Sentinels.
And I had DJ Roomba also.
DJ Roomba.
I did have Sonny on my list. I had Beta from The Last Starfighter.
Okay.
Which is the android that replaces him when he's away. I also had Bishop from Aliens and Alien 3. For some friends over in the UK, I made sure to add Jet Jaguar to my list. He was a robot that fought Godzilla and Megalon.
That's really reaching. That's very nice of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, they wanted me to have it on the list. They did.
Long walk for a small drink of water.
Now, I will say this. This was on my list, but I wasn't sure if it counted. Replicants from Blade Runner. Are they robots?
Well, they eat food, and they produce bibbas.
So I'm going to say they're not.
Right.
Right?
Okay. I'm with you on that.
They're
okay.
Better human. Let's face
it. Okay. I just want to be sure that we're all on the same page. I am wearing my replicant shirt.
Here's the thing.
But
I wouldn't have said that had I not seen all 5 cuts of the film and the sequel.
You've never seen the workshop cut, all right?
Not with you. I've been cheating on you with Blade Runner cuts.
Oh, he's
that really hurts.
That would hurt him almost as much as actually.
I asked her to watch all of them with me before 2049. She's like, I don't want to do that.
You don't have to do it in a row.
Because one of them is like 7 hours long.
That's not true. The workshop cut is like 3.5 hours. Yeah.
And the movie already feels super long without like it any does. Of the cuts feel super long.
Yeah, so. It's long.
All right, guys. That wraps up the best robots, best droids, best androids. Tell us, of course, your favorites in the comments below. If you don't already follow us on all of our platforms, you should. We are on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Heroes Podcasts.
And Vero.
We are on Vero.
That one's wishy-washy at the moment. I'm waiting to understand a little bit more about the legalese there.
Well, we are on Patreon. So, of course, you can support us there.
Give us your
money. If you don't want a subscription service, you can support us on Ko-fi. Just ko-fi.com/heroespodcast.
Isn't it pronounced Ko-fefe?
Ko-fefe.
It is, yes. We are at Heroes Podcast pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
Especially here on Twitch, where some lovely people joined us live tonight.
Thank you very much for that chat.
We
appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We very much appreciate it. It starts a lot of conversation. It's really fun for me, for sure. We do this live Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Twitch.tv/heroespodcasts.
We're going to be reviewing a ton of movies over the next three months.
For the next, 5 weeks, we are We are reviewing films, and we hope you go out and see them. We'll do our short movie takes when we get out of the theater, and we'll do our long episodes. So next week, we're reviewing A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
And a first-time guest, John Holloway. I'm calling you out so you don't bail on us.
I don't know if he listens to the show.
I don't think he watches the show.
It doesn't matter. It's happened.
That's how, okay.
It's the happening.
It's the happenings. All right. Well, yeah. So, and also, real quick, Gamer Heroes, our video game podcast, is starting up live streaming on Twitch tomorrow night, every other Wednesday. Ryan will be joining myself and John, my co-host.
That's so great. Are you coming over to play?
No, we're doing this online. We're going to be playing.
Oh, sad.
No, I'm not going to come over three nights in a row to see you. I'm sorry.
We're going
to. Maybe to see Luna, but.
We're going to be streaming some Overwatch this time. So, the game will be different probably every week. So.
I'm sure Rachel will be watching, so get in chat and chat with her while we're playing. I'm sure
that's
a thing.
We'll see how that works.
You're my bro.
It's our big test run. So yeah, if you like Overwatch, if you want to just listen to us BS for like an hour or so, come join us. Thank you everybody for tuning in. I know that was long-winded. We'll catch you all next week with a review of A Wrinkle in Time.
We love you and your faces.
Bye everybody.